Hello and welcome. This is Bia Matos with BYU Idaho Radio. And today in the studio, I have brother Nate Wise, who works as the Director of Intellectual Property here at BYU Idaho. And he's also this week's devotional speaker. Welcome in, brother Wise.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do here at the school.
Well, my job here at the school is really in managing the intellectual property and copyrights for campus. So a lot of times I'm behind the scenes of productions and other things like that, just kind of keeping us compliant with the law and securing licenses. Some of the licenses, even for the radio station here, you know, come through my office and things like that. So it's kind of my duty there to be hopefully not seen. Otherwise, I'm not doing my job right. So,
gotcha. And so let's talk about your speech, right? It's called A Blessed and Happy State, and it's about how we can find blessings and happiness in our lives, even if we're facing tough challenges. Why did you feel like it was important to choose this topic?
I just thought this is something that resonates, I think, with mental health challenges and things that we all go through. I think it's something that we need to recognize that, you know, the Lord is in all the details of our lives, even in the messy details. And I think it's key to recognize that. And I think it helps us, you know, move forward and have faith that despite the challenges that we face, that we can overcome them if we put our trust and our faith in the right direction, in the right person.
So in your talk, you shared a few personal experiences that your family's had in Montana. How have these experiences shaped your understanding of faith and resilience and the presence of divine intervention in everyday challenges?
Yeah, it's probably a model example of that. We, you know, moved to Montana when I was a young child, and just watching my family, you know, as we built the house and struggled, it was really because of the gospel and the influence of the gospel as my parents were really converted. They had grown up in the church but were not active. Moving to Montana saved their marriage. It saved our family, really, and it was the gospel that did it. And it was the members and the ministering efforts of the little branch there in Drummond that helped my family embrace the gospel, really, for the first time in their lives. And despite the challenges we had, it was a rough go, but it was, you know, one of those humbling experiences that was required to be able to build that faith. I think if we're not humbled, then it's a little more difficult. I think if we had the easy route, then I don't know that they would have been sensitive enough to the Spirit to make the changes necessary in our lives to do that. And then the little experiences like the experience I share in the devotional is one of those things that, you know, that helps cement and build those rays of testimony, as I mentioned in the talk, that, you know, it's the little things. It's not one experience that changed us forever, but it was the little experiences, the little rays of light, you know, that really helps us to become and look back and recognize the blessings that are part of living and living the gospel, struggling, repenting, and improving.
Yeah, and in your talk, you specifically shared a touching moment where your family knelt down in prayer in hopes that your truck Tessie would be able to be free from the mud. How did that experience and others like it influence your understanding of the power of family unity and the collective faith in overcoming adversity?
Yeah, that was, like I said, one of those little tidbits, right? It wasn't the seminal event. It was not, you know, while it's a good story and it did build our faith in prayer and unity, but it's something that I think stuck with all of us in the family as kids, watching my parents and understanding that experience and building our testimony and faith in prayer and receiving an answer that looked like it wasn't going to come. And answers don't always come that way. Like I share in my testimony, my mom prayed for years to overcome her health challenges and ultimately didn't. I mean, she didn't get that answer. she got answers, and we recognized the blessings that we did get, but sometimes, you know, those answers don't come the way we want them or when we want them. But I think that unity that we built there is something that helped us in that trial. And we were all there for each other and had collective faith that we could see the bigger picture. And I think thinking celestial is part of that, and having that eternal perspective, especially in the face of those kind of challenges.
You also use sort of an imagery or a metaphor of Tessie the truck being stuck in the mud is how we can also be feeling burdened or stuck in the same place in our own lives. How has your understanding of the Savior's role in bearing our burdens sort of evolved over the years?
That's a good question and an example, but it is, yeah, I think the evolution, right, of that thought and what that means, I think that comes with the years as you look back on those experiences and recognize what it means to give our loads to the Savior. And I don't want to say expect him to pull us out of the mud, but kind of, because he will. He'll be able to lift us when we can't do it ourselves. I mean, it's obvious it's through his grace and that. But I think it's the looking back over the years, I think at the moments we don't often see that's been the case, that he's taken our load, you know, because sometimes the challenges we face seem insurmountable. We're up to our knees in the mud and we don't see a way out. But it's, you know, being humble and working our way through that, relying on prayer and the Lord's timetable. And while we might not see it in the moment, it is something that we can look back and recognize, oh, wow, you know, the Lord was carrying us, like the footprints in the sand, right? That poem that we're familiar with, it. He is carrying us in those hard times. And while we may not see it in the moment, it is true. He is there. And I think it does come, you know, with passing through those trials that shape us.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely feel like it takes a lot to sometimes step back and rely on the Savior, that it takes a lot of faith and a lot to help you overcome the burdens and the challenges that you're facing in your life. And that might be really hard for some people sometimes, but it's something that we all have to try out every now and then. But you also reference a quote from President M. Nelson about miracles and faith. What advice would you give to someone who is currently struggling to see the miracles in their life or struggling to have faith that they'll ever come?
Yeah, that's the difficult part, right? And he says, learn about miracles. And miracles are available, just not in the moment we want them. You know, when we were able to get out of the mud, that was a small miracle. But oftentimes, you know what? You're hiking. You're not going to get out of the mud. And it's hard to see the Lord's hand in something like that, especially at the time when you know you didn't get the answer that you wanted, and it seems that the heavens are closed and you keep asking in prayer for the same things in vain. And when we first moved here to Idaho, we kind of had that same situation. It took us over 4 years to finally sell our house in Montana that we had, and it was pretty stressful, and we didn't see, you know, the blessing that we were looking for, but the Lord was in that challenge for us. He, like the quote from President Benson that, you know, mentions the Lord will raise up friends, and he did that. And so we need to, in those challenging times, look for the ways that the Lord is blessing us in other ways, you know, that it's maybe not that blessing that we wanted in the moment that we wanted it, but he's providing opportunities for us to recognize his hand in other ways. So sometimes we just have to step back and try to see the bigger picture, because we know what we want, what our perspective is, but that's not always the Lord's perspective. And having that knowledge that he's going to do what's best for us, and we can look back and see how friends or others have ministered and helped us, and given us the opportunity to maybe accept help that we would have otherwise had trouble accepting.
Yeah, and like we've talked about, your talk, the main idea is finding the joy and the blessings in life's trials. How do you personally create a mindset of gratitude and optimism when you're faced with adversity?
Yeah, it's that is hard because in the midst of the adversity, it's hard to have that mindset. And oftentimes it comes after the adversity when those things pass. But it's important to have the faith that it will pass, that there are others that can help and support us in our adversities. And in recognizing that, I think that's where the joy is, that in the friendships, in the support, in the comfort, you know, through the Spirit and the gospel is there and available, and we've got to try to do it. Like President Nelson said, our faith will always propel us forward, and we've got to try to hang on to that faith that things will get better. And then we can look back with joy. In Alma 32, he talks about, you know, caring for the seed, waiting for the fruit to be born. And it's in the waiting is where those blessings are. It's not in harvesting the fruit, though that is a blessing. But it's, as the scripture says, it's in the waiting for the tree to bear fruit is where we're gonna learn the most.
You also mentioned nearing the end of your talk the importance of submitting cheerfully and patiently to the will of the Lord, even during our trials. How can individuals who might be struggling with that also be able to achieve it?
Yeah, it's hard because, I mean, struggles are real, right? And the things that we face are difficult. I think something in that story is that, you know, in the midst of their bondage, the Lord did hear their prayers. He didn't take them out of bondage immediately. I don't know how long they were in bondage, but he did ease their burdens and made them easier. And I think it's that part of having that faith that the Lord is going to make things easier, not going to make it easy, but he's going to make it easier if we have faith in him and rely and trust in him and submit to his will, which is often difficult. And I think sometimes his will is that we have faith in him and that we need these experiences to grow and develop. My parents, I don't think, would have signed up for the challenges that they faced, living in the trailer and building the house and the other health struggles that they have now. But it has helped grow their faith and our faith as we've watched them. And while the challenges are difficult, there is that knowledge that the Lord is there for us and will bless us. And we have confidence in those blessings. And that's the blessed and happy state of those that keep the commandments is knowing, you know, the end from the beginning. Though, you know, we may be mired in the mud right now, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And that is the comfort and peace that the gospel brings, and the comforter. I mean, that's why the Holy Ghost is known as the comforter. He can comfort us in these times if we give our load to the Lord and rely on him and his will and his timing.
In the end of your talk, you kind of emphasize the importance of standing as a witness of Christ, even during life's challenges. How has that helped you grow closer to our Savior, and how has that impacted your overall perspective of life in adversity?
Yeah, it's part of it, right? We come here to be proven, to see whether or not we will obey the commandments of our Heavenly Father and to face the trials that shape us. You know, like in that scripture, it says that, you know, he eased their burdens that they could stand as a witness to him hereafter. And that's in our case, in all of our cases. You know, as we face trials, if we have the faith, we will be able to look back and stand as a witness and say, God's hand was in this, and he helped us through this challenge. It wasn't easy. We learned a lot. We made mistakes, and we're able to repent. But it really shapes us. And I think knowing that, his plan is sure, and thanks to the atonement, we can repent and improve and look back on our lives and not be embarrassed of our mistakes, but recognize those mistakes as growth opportunities that we've had that have shaped us and changed us. I mean, I would not want to go back in time and relive that, but at the same time, I wouldn't want to change it because it made me who I am. And, you know, those are part of those core of testimony, those experiences that help build us, that erases the doubt that, you know, the Lord is in this for us and will come through on his promises, just sometimes not on the timing that we expect.
Just as a final closer, how do you hope that your message will resonate with students and faculty here at BYU-Idaho? And what practical steps do you suggest for them to take for them to cultivate a blessed and happy state in their own lives?
I think the steps and what I hope that would resonate with them is that, you know, that those that keep the commandments of God are promised certain things. The Lord God hath spoken it, as that scripture says, that there are promises, and those covenants that we make, there's promises attached to those. And if we are true and faithful, we can receive the promises. And those promises will come on the Lord's timeline. And accepting that as the will of God, that sometimes those promises come sooner and sometimes not as soon as we'd like, but they will come. And having that confidence is what I hope the students will be able to build, knowing that if we stay faithful, even through the difficulties, we'll come out on the other side better and better than we were, smarter than we were, with more faith than we had before.
Perfect. Well, those were all the questions I had for you today. Thank you so much for coming in here and talking with us. And that was Brother Nate Wise, the Director of Intellectual Property here at BYU-Idaho, and this week's devotional speaker. I'm Bia Matos with BYU-Idaho Radio. Thanks for listening.